Game Week 35 is still in play, but as always, we've got loads to say. We discuss the impacts of the FA Cup, our chip strategy for the run-in, and why even Sam is now moving away from Palace. So blank game week 34 has almost been survived. I say almost because, of course, we still have one more game to come on Thursday nights. Plenty for us to talk about. What a week for us to be all together in a studio in London. Kelly Summers here, as always, alongside Julian Neron and Sam Bonfield. What a game week it has been so far. I mean, unfortunately for me, all my players have played. And unfortunately, I've had the worst week, as per usual, out of the three of us. So, Sam, are you OK if I let Jules speak first?
Yeah,
just
please.
So we can get it out of the way, yeah?
He'll only talk over me anyway.
Yeah, exactly.
No, it's okay, but do you know how much 47 times 2 is? 94, baby! That's it. And still Wood and Mbeumo to play, so it could get better. Even, I mean, I didn't even know, but Justin Bieber was born in 94. Here you go.
That's why people listen to this podcast.
Yeah, exactly. Hammerstein's 94, baby. I think 94 is the number today.
Is that the planning you did for this pod?
Yeah,
you just looked up who was born in 94.
Actually, Justin Bieber, Harry Styles, 47 times 2. I think the atomic number for potassium is 47. Is 94.
Right, so Joel's got
something like that.
Joel's got 94.
It's just 94 has to be the... Do you want me to describe you how I got to 94? Emotions.
Sam, hold on. Just start with your team. How did your team do? Because it wasn't that far off that.
I got 95. I'm actually beating him at the moment.
He's just smug.
Yeah, but you only have one player left.
I only have one.
I know, and we have the same
but
one.
But what if one of your players gets
if
minus?
Another gets an off,
come
you're
on,
in trouble.
Don't say that. Why are you jinxing me like this?
Well, you know.
Because I would love it if that happened.
Oh, you would love it. Okay, that's nice.
You know I would, and you would love it if it happened to me as well. And also, because you're getting very close to me in that table, let's be honest.
Yeah.
Okay, so 94, 95. Jules, let's start with you, because I was quite envious when I looked at your team, because as
but
we know...
you could have the same team. We're on free
wait. The reason I'm envious is because, as we know, I'm a sheep.
Okay.
I look at what everyone else says. I get influenced. I looked at Jules' team and I was like, I love that Mr. out there, Mr. sometimes it goes very wrong.
Yeah.
But as we saw last season, sometimes it goes very right.
That's
I looked
true.
At that team and thought, do you know what? I'm going to give away some of it. I love the fact that you captained Cunha.
Yeah.
I love the fact that you doubled up on the Wolves defence. They were playing a team that don't score. It made total sense. Yet I didn't do it because I decided I wanted coverage of each defence that was
playing.
Which
is not a bad strategy
no,
either,
but,
to be fair.
But you had a lucky week as well because it did all pay off.
Yeah.
But I just looked at it and thought it was just a little bit different. There was a lot of similarities in free hit teams, but yours had a few differences. Just talk us through. I've mentioned a couple there.
Yeah. I went for San Ait Nouri because, as you know, I'm not a big fan of Wout van Nistelrooy as the Leicester coach and Leicester in general and the form that they've been in really lately, apart from winning a Spurs.
Thank that.
But apart from that, whoever else play them, they win against them. And usually, as we've seen, especially at home, but away too, they struggled to score and they miss a penalty in this game. So Sai is a bit lucky and the clean sheet is a bit lucky too. But I think you provoke your luck in a way. And the Cunha captaincy is the same. It's exactly in the same vein. Like Leicester keep conceding goals and more than going maybe for somebody playing against Southampton, which were at home, or even Ipswich. I just thought like this is a banker, really. Cunha against Leicester, there's no way, even Strand Larsen to some extent, but there's no way they don't return, really.
I was impressed because there was a lot of concern, wasn't there, the fact that Cunha only came back into the team last week, a team that was winning every week without him. I know he's their star, but there's lots of rumours and kind of noise around him as well, so you did wonder with Bellegarde back fit if he was going to start. We even joked and kind of, I semi-thought about Strand Larsen,
to be honest.
Wouldn't have been the world's worst pick, but the fact that you went bold and actually gave him the captaincy, that's where he's a bit, I think he's a bit freer than us as an FPL player, isn't it? Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, no, I do. And I think also there's an element of like how it's risk reward, isn't it? How far do you risk it in order to get some gains? And if you're at the bottom of the mini league, take a few
more
risks.
I don't know if it will be for much longer, to be honest.
But you know, the best thing is Kelly and I were working at Wembley on Saturday for the FA Cup. The reception is not always the greatest at Wembley, even with the Wi-Fi. But because we were also working, you could not always look at the scores and the result and who did what. And so it was like every 20 minutes I would look up and it took ages to load on the app and everything. And so it was literally like little drip that, oh, Cunha scored. Okay, one goal is not bad. But then you would see the assist and then you would see Cessignon late scoring. And then it was just like... Because we were so busy too on that day,
I think I first saw Jules about 3:10 or 3:15, and neither of us knew exactly what was going on at that point,
exactly,
I think. And
so
we both looked at our teams, and I think Cunha had already scored at that point. So I was delighted.
I love you, Cunha. I love you so much. You're such a great player.
Sam, so you're 95 then. How did your team differ from Jules's?
So I also had the double Wolves defence. We were out on Saturday afternoon and we were driving home and it came on the radio that Leicester had been given a penalty. And I was like, oh, it's so frustrating because that's going to cost me the clean sheet points for 8 Nori and obviously
how
for Jose Sarr. Yeah.
My mind works.
That's
with,
how I am.
He's doubled up on the Wolves defence. So, but you I'm going, actually, if they score this, I'll lose my Ryan 8 Nori clean sheet. I get that. But at least he loses double.
Yeah, wow.
So I'm at that point of the season.
Yeah,
so
exactly. That's the jealousy.
Lee and I both had the same double up of the Wolves defence. So we're coming home together and it was like, right, it's surely Vardy. It's like, given the announcement that Vardy had made this week, I was like, surely, you know,
he's going to score. Yeah, yeah.
And then when the commentator on the radio was like, oh, it's been saved, I was like, you're joking. Like, that is ridiculous of a swing. And actually, I said to Lee I'd give him a shout out because every single one of his players returned this week. He's got 106 for the game week.
That shouts you up.
All my players have returned.
Yeah, but
I've got two more to play.
He's getting a red card tomorrow night.
Yeah.
Can I just point out at this point, thank you both very much for not mentioning what I did with Jose Sarr.
No, I haven't.
No, wait, don't worry, your time is going
to
come.
It's fine, we'll come to your team in a minute.
Sam can finish.
Double Wolves defence,
you also
kept
Palmer. I don't know why, because we told you last week.
This is a classic me fear move. I kept him as well.
I told you both.
So I took some risks in my team. Like, so I had enough risks in there. I had Iwobi, who did all right. Yeah. Like, I was all right with him. Trippier, who... The man's a legend now, actual legend now. And so I'd kind of taken risks and I'd got Wood and I'd ignored some others that I wanted and I'd decided to stick with Murphy over going Harvey Barnes. And like I was happy with my team. And then the Palmer position, like, so I did Sky on Saturday morning and I was standing on set and it was like 5 minutes before the deadline and I still hadn't decided what to do with Palmer. It was one of those where I was like, because I can afford to have you, I want to have you.
That's why I did it.
But also, your ownership is high, and I'm worried that I don't want to...
If he scores, it will affect
you. It's going to affect my rank, and I'm trying to gain, not trying to lose. So at this point, I'm like, I want to cover that. And I very nearly swapped him for Jarrod Bowen, who's my first sub, and then didn't, because I was just like, the reason I've got Palmer there is because I'm worried about the impact that might have on my rank. So I'm going to just go with him. But actually, he's the only one in my team blanked. So I'm not disappointed. I also benched Sessegnon. I didn't see Fulham keeping a clean sheet. They've just not been. And so I benched him for Cucurella. And up until the 92nd minute, it looked like a great decision. Yeah, and I was very happy until...
Jules keeps doing this really creepy look down the camera. The knowing look.
Just in case they cut on me, just say, but no.
The only thing that was positive about that is, of course, you had... didn't have Sessegnon as your differential and
I mentioned Sessegnon and then you stole it from me.
And so also that means I get first pick again this week and I bet you've picked the same one as me again.
I don't know.
We'll
find out later in the podcast.
Let's not argue
about differentials
about
in the first 10 minutes of the programme.
Come on, let's get
Can
yours.
I just point out at this point that I did get 88 points. It wasn't a catastrophe.
No, it was quite a good week.
It was fine and I still got a green arrow. I needed a bigger green arrow though, let's be honest. What's annoying is that I didn't have the balls to actually... double up on the Wolves.
Explain to me the Leno and Jose Sarr thing, because why would you leave Sarr on your bench?
I basically decided that I wasn't going to play Sessegnon and then thought I don't have any Fulham cover.
Right.
I also wasn't convinced that Jose Sarr was definitely going to be fit.
Yeah.
So earlier in the week, I think when we did the podcast, Jose Sarr was my goalkeeper.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah.
He was my goalkeeper. And then I panicked, which is stupid because if a goalkeeper's not fit, the backup comes in.
Backup,
so I should have just played him. But because I decided not to play Sessegnon, I was like, well, I've already got the Wolves defensive cover in 8 Nori. And 8 Nori's got the attacking upside. So I won't do him. Should have just gone for Sessegnon because he's got the attacking upside. Should have played 4 at the back this week, by the way, as well.
God, that's 23 points between the two of them.
I've got 30 points on my bench, Jules.
Yeah, but like...
a week after I bench boosted and got
Trent
about 10.
And Clover compared to the other two. But you... the swing... Yeah.
That's what's annoying. And the big thing for me was that. But I've got to be honest, I was quite happy with my defence. I was pretty happy with my midfield. I went for... I think at the time we did the podcast, I was on Barnes. But then I started to worry about Gordon coming back. I spoke to a few Newcastle fans. They'd gone for Murphy, which just... yeah. When fans of a team go for it, then you go, okay,
just stick with Murphy.
I'm going to go with Murphy. Yeah, and it's what it reminded me what you said. If you get rid of a player on your free hit and then they score, you're rubbish.
Yeah. I'd have raged if I'd have gone for Barnes.
So
instead.
Murphy I kept. I was happy with that. Happy I brought Diaz in. Raul versus Chris Wood is one that went down to the wire. And I persuaded myself to go with Raul because I hadn't got Iwobi. And I thought that I was literally going for Chris Wood because I wanted a player in the Thursday game. And I was like, that's not the way to play this game. Now it's Wednesday and God, do I wish I had a pair in the Thursday game. And that whole one whole point, Raul Jimenez, now I'm doing what you did and look down the camera. Thanks a bunch for that. Chris Wood is one of the best scorers in the game. He's been one of the best forwards this season. He's probably going to score tomorrow, and I'm an idiot.
So.
And it sums up my season. It sums up the stupid decisions I've made this season. But 88, green arrow. No, but the green arrow will get smaller after tomorrow. That's the other problem.
Yes.
Because unless there's mass sendings off.
Stop saying that. It would happen otherwise.
I think that's the thing, isn't it? Because actually, for a lot of people that weren't free hitting this week, the Thursday game is quite important because
people
it's
have
the
got
Forest
the Forest defence.
And the Brentford players that they've got.
I need both teams to score to wipe out any Forest clean sheets.
Yeah,
true.
I need probably Visser to score over... Well, a lot of people have got Visser.
He's quite popular. You need to be Damsgaard, like Damsgaard or Norgaard.
Damsgaard, always been my favourite player. And Morgan Gibbs-White, go wild.
No, he's... Well, I don't know.
Elanga?
Elanga is still... Yeah.
Bit more of a differential.
You probably want it to...
You know what? I just want Elliot Anderson to just decide
that'd
he loves scoring.
That'd be fine with you, yeah.
Ryan Yates, great player.
Anyone. Not a defender. Not anyone that regularly scores.
It's going to be Chris Wood, you know that, don't you? Chris Wood brace. He'll have two shots and he'll get them both of them.
Let's move on.
And Bomber hat-trick.
The problem is, a lot of people will listen to this on a Friday, by the way, and will listen to it going, what idiots, they've predicted all the wrong things.
Yeah.
So this bit, you might have already scrolled through because this first, 5-10 minutes has basically just been an argument. This is what happens when we're together in a studio. Sorry, it's probably not very good if you listen to this as a pod. Let's move on anyway, because it was a huge week in general. Over 1.5 million chips were played this week. There was assistant managers as well. There was over 400,000 that were already active from Game Week 32 and 33. We all played the free hit chip, as we've discussed. Myself and Sam are done with chips now. Jules, you've still got one?
Bench boost.
That worries me because now I am only 27 points ahead of Jules. All that takes is a couple of Mbeumo goals.
Oh,
and
come on,
could be
Brian.
Very tight by next week. Could
Brian
be over.
Is in the kitchen. No, that's how we learn French. Brian is in the kitchen. We learn English like that.
Sorry, that wasn't... So Brian, I'm 27 points
two goals.
Ahead of Jules. Ian is 39 points ahead of me. Sam is 22 points ahead of Ian. I'm on for my worst ever season. Nothing can happen now to change that.
There's four games to go.
Still got plenty of time.
Yeah.
But last season I finished about 47,000.
You've got time.
Add a zero onto that. That's a bit more...
Where would you be happy with then?
200k, you'd be.
I never am happy if I don't finish. I always need to finish in the top 100, and that's not going to happen now because I've used my chips.
I don't know.
Yeah.
You picked
top 200. Top 200 now. Top 200.
I reckon you could still
make top
400
now, but.
Top 200 is a really good season, to be fair.
I think it would be good if all of us could finish. What are you targeting now? What are you now? Yeah. About 130, are you? Last one?
Yeah.
Is? Yeah.
So. I'm hoping that Chris Wood's going to put me in the top 100k by the end of...
No offence, but I'm
this
not.
This week. Me neither.
Fingers crossed. I need a lot of things to go well on Thursday night. And then...
I'm watching that game behind the sofa.
Well, I won't be watching that one. I'll be watching the other one. And then...
Maybe I'll do that too.
Ideally... I mean, I'm still going to aim for the top 10k. I won't
top
make
50?
It, but if I could get top 50, I'd be very happy after this season.
Yeah. Wanted last year and said I was going to aim for every year, but I'm not going to get there. What about you?
Top 200, I think, would be good. Yeah. Like you,
Yeah, okay. And to finish above me now.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah, to be honest, I would take 1 million if it, just as long as I finish above you.
If only you'd gone Cole Palmer that game week.
Oh, shut up. Don't bring that up again. Okay, let's check in on the FPL. Yeah, I know, right? Just a few weeks too late. But that kind of thing also played into my thinking, by the way. I'm like, I've been here before.
I know.
I've been here before.
Yeah, it did with me as well.
I've had one of those seasons. I've been spooked into some stupid decisions. Fortunately, I'm here as the presenter, not here to give out advice. So let's see how the FPL Pod Mini League went. Max has extended his lead at the top. He got 91 points. Not quite 94, though, is it? He's now third in the world. Dan was second, has gone down to ninth, but he does have Mbeumo, Visser and Milenkovic to play on Thursday evening. Jake Poplawski is second with 90 points from his free hit. Ian Roylance has moved up to third. He got 86 points, but he does still have Mbeumo and he is just 7 points behind second place Jake. So we could see more movement after Thursday's match and by the time you listen to this. Okay, then, over the weekend, we did have the FA Cup. The semi-finals between Villa and Palace and Manchester City and Forest. We now know that Palace and Man City will be in the final, which does take place on the Saturday of Game Week 37. So the FA Cup final is on the Saturday and all the Premier League games aren't on the Saturday. They're going to be on the Sunday. But that does mean that the fixtures between Manchester City and Bournemouth and Palace and Wolves will need to be rescheduled. At the time of recording, we're recording this a little bit earlier this week. It's on a Wednesday, in your ears first thing on Thursday. As it stands when we're talking, we don't know. This is evidence, by the way, that we aren't insiders in terms of we can't tap anyone up. No. New rule changes or anything like that. We get the news when you do as well, guys. So maybe by the time you listen to this, it'll be a little bit out of date in terms of that. But hopefully the rest of the podcast can still be applicable. So let's talk about the end of season strategy. We've just spoken about the fact that we've all got our little targets. I'm sure you guys listening to this do as well. So you have to really carefully deploy your chips. So yeah. I think this is really prevalent for you, Jules, because Sam and I, we're all out. Chipless. You've still got your bench. Oh, do you know what? It's a relief, isn't it?
When it's gone. A relief. It's yeah.
They didn't go well. Let's park it, move
but the
on.
Free hit's gone well for a change.
Free hit would have gone well if I hadn't looked at your teams. When are you using that bench boost? Are you waiting for that FA Cup?
Yeah,
news?
I want to know the announcement, really. Yeah. And if you could plan ahead to a game week, even if it's just two teams having two games that week, for example, whether it's 37, 38, then I play at 38 because it's fun and because that gives you enough free transfer between now and then to just build for something interesting on that 38 on the last day of the season. And you can, I don't know, target a team or another, really. But ideally, I would love one or two, two or more teams to double up at some point. And then you play your bench boost there. And again, you've got enough free transfer or maybe can take a minus four to be ready for that with a decent bench.
Okay, Sam, let's talk about what other managers should do, because I actually want to say a little apology. Last week, I don't think we talked enough about assistant managers for people that were still on assistant managers. Maybe we all got a little bit obsessed with the fact that we and most people we're playing against were on a free hit. So we're going to try and bear in mind that just because we don't have any chips left, we can help other people plan for theirs. So if you still had a free hit left, when would you be using it? I think you're going to say the last week, because that's when you wanted to keep it full, wasn't it?
Yeah, if I still had it now playing 38. I just think 38 is such a difficult week to navigate usually, because, and particularly this season, because the title's done, the relegation is done. So it's literally just the fight for Europe.
I'm quite enjoying that fight for Europe. In a season where everyone's saying it's a boring season.
Really cool. The fight for Europe is fabulous, but I think it does mean that the teams that you target is gone.
Yeah.
It's gone. Changed. It's changed. Yeah, absolutely. So I think game week 38 for a free hit is ideal, because it means that on that final day, you can literally look and go, right, who are the teams with something massive to play for here? Who could make Champions League? Who can make Europa League? Who might squeeze it into the Conference League? And at that point, you can target them.
Do you know what I also realised? This free hit, when we were doing this free hit, and it's easy to say this now with hindsight because it paid off, but playing a free hit on a week like that, where all of the teams that are all, well, they're all relegated now, had it made it so easy to target the teams playing them. So like even on the final day, or like if you have got it over these final few weeks, it's pretty obvious which teams to target, isn't it? It's the teams playing those. So like in the past, well, maybe we've played free hits just because there is less games. I know there was less games, but actually there were less games and there was games that were targetable.
Yeah, and also there were less games, but not loads less games, because some years we've had like four games off, and if you get to that point where you've lost a lot of teams, then it's more problematic. It's harder to manage because you've got less players to pick from. But yeah, I think you're right. I think the fact that you can have, you know, you can target in on those bottom three, they're not going to have anything to fight for apart from pride at this point. And so, you know, they're not trying to stay in the league and therefore might have an upset on the final day. So, for me, I love the free hit on the final day. I wish I still had it, but then it's gone well this week. So it's, if you've still got it, that's when I'd do it.
Okay. Wild card. Just, I know this is so rich coming from me, but please activate it if you haven't already.
A few people have played for this game with 34, haven't they?
And I do understand that in a way, because if you maxed out your team to this point, then I think Gianni was one of those who did that.
Yeah, and Holly's doing it as well this week. And I think it makes a lot of sense, doesn't it? Because if you didn't have the free hit for this week that we've all just played it, then your team will have been compromised. And you've probably sold some players that maybe you didn't really want to sell. And then you can bring them back in again. And I think actually, again, going back to what we've just said about the free hit, in some ways it's the same for a wild card, isn't it? Because you know who you're targeting now between now and the end of the season.
It's easier to plan, for just four games in than if you do it halfway through the season.
Exactly. So I think now is the perfect time to wild card. It's a wild card for 4 weeks.
It's not too late, you think? No.
No, I mean, I think if you leave it any later than this
never
week,
too late.
That's Kelly's,
well, I think paying
Kelly's
it in 38 is a bit late. because you want to maximise.
But it also depends if your team needs it. If your team doesn't need it.
If you're looking at your team, but then the chances of you looking at your team now, if you didn't free hit already, if you free hitted last week and you've still got your wild card, then maybe
I'd quite like
you don't
to keep my
it.
Free hit. I quite enjoyed those players.
Yeah, I love the free hit. Do you know, I looked at my team on the app. I went to set it up for the set my bus team, and I looked at it and I was like, oh, forgot I was getting you lot back. Like, it felt like a wild card.
It's a bit like that, to be fair.
So when you pack kids off on holiday and now they've come back.
And I looked at mine, I was like, where's Cunha? Cunha has disappeared. Oh, yeah, he was just there.
Where's
for
all my,
one week.
Where's all I would my, have liked to keep him. But yeah, so I think wild card, just do it soon. If your team is looking fine and actually, you know, you don't want to do it now because your team's fine, then you could almost use the wild card as a free hit in the final game week.
Yeah.
But you do lose the potential upside of that.
Yeah, totally. Okay, then. Another thing to remind you of is don't leave your assistant manager too late. It's the first time we've ever had this chip. So in case you've seen it in your kind of app and thought, I don't fully know what that is. Probably if you listen to this podcast by now, you do. But a reminder, don't leave it till game week 38. The latest you can activate it is game week 36. Well, you can activate it in 37, but you won't
but
get
you
the...
have two games.
You can activate it in 38. But gosh, if you've got it, the last point to get the most out of it is 36. Sam, when would you be activating it? This week? Next week? What's the best way to do it? Because there's only 2 weeks you can do.
If you have that as your only chip remaining, then I'd do it 36, 37, 38. If you've got another chip going and it's the wild card, then I'd do that this week and then keep it 36, 37, 38. If you've got the free hit, I'd go 35, 36, 37, free hit, 38.
Okay. Agree, Jules?
Yeah, I think so. I think so. And it could be fun, I guess, to play the last three game week of the season because... it's almost like you go for it and you try to climb up and get points and get green arrows and that extra chip can help you doing that, really. If you pick the right manager, you can get quite a lot of points and that can make a massive difference at the end of a long season like this. So 36, 37, 38, if you pick the right guy, if you even have a bit of a gamble and a bit of a punt on somebody like, I don't know, Kieran McKenna, Ipswich or something like that, you can get table points as well as normal points and you just don't know, you might get a lot of green arrows.
Yes, okay, well this next bit of the script, Sam, as we know, writes a lot of this script. I don't read everything that you write and I'm not going to read this next bit because you've put, who should we be focusing on for the final few weeks? You've then put the fixture ticker. Ipswich are at the top. Should we be looking there?
Well, the reason I put that is because when you...
I have just read it, so I've not done what I've said. I've literally read it. But I'm saying that in a tone of voice of, we've just spoken about maybe targeting teams that are against playing teams.
Yeah.
Why can't I get my words out? The teams facing the relegated teams.
Yeah. But I think the point is that when we do these sections and we look at the fixtures and we talk about, and at the end of the season, you have to do that.
Yeah, I'm joking.
I know you are. but when I pulled up the fixture ticker, I was like, what do I do about that?
Because you can write the question and you can answer the question.
So I was like, she'll throw it at me and I'll just say no. I mean, look, I think the other thing to say is that you could, if you've not got your bench boost, there's no reason why you can't use the cheap enablers at Ipswich and Southampton and Leicester and bench them over the next few weeks.
That's a really good point, actually. It's really important to remember that a lot of us used our bench boost over the last few weeks. Now, obviously, you need to have a good bench in case someone isn't playing. But your third sub, he can be 3.9 million defender. He can be the cheapest player you can find. Yeah.
Like, and that's what I'm thinking with my transfers over the next couple of weeks is, well, why don't I just have some burners? I can probably burn two slots and still get away with it, potentially. I only got to worry about the last day, but... maybe Ipswich aren't terrible. We've had some players over the season that have been decent. Liam Delap has been decent in points this season. Yeah. Obviously, the defence is in a bit of a muddle at the moment because they lost Leif Davis 1 week, then they lost Ben Johnson the next week. It's a bit of a disaster. And I don't think there's anyone else. But if you want to burn your third forward slot, as in, like, have somebody that's going to play if you need it, but you don't want to play them every week because you want to bench them, then Liam Delap's not terrible. It frees up money and it can allow you to invest in your starting 11 more.
Yeah, okay. I'm not going to ask you that, Jules, because I don't think you're going to be signing any Ipswich players, but I could be wrong.
Definitely not. Okay. No, stay away.
Okay, so Ipswich are at the top of the fixture ticker. Next up is Nottingham Forest, and they're a more interesting one because the defence hasn't been as secure as it has been lately, but maybe that's a reflection on the fixtures they've played as well. They're now out of the FA Cup. Their sole focus is going to be securing Champions League football or some form. Well, I mean, they want Champions League football now, don't they? They've been there all season, but they've got to end this season strongly. So they're a team with something to play for. Surely we invest.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, they play Palace, for example, at the weekend, who will already be thinking about the FA Cup final for them. I know they have plenty of time, but it's still very much already in that mode for Palace, who have nothing to play for really in the league apart from trying to finish as high as possible. But this is it. So after that, for Forest is Leicester at home, who we just said before are not very good at all. And then even by then, because we're recording the show before they play Brentford, so they might be back in third place when you listen to this or in a few hours. But yeah, they have to go for it. So it has to be the strongest team every time. So Wood will play. Elanga, probably Hudson-Odoi, Gibbs White, all your defenders, the goalkeeper. There's no rotation there because it's that moment of the season, really. And I think they can do it too. I think they have a bit of momentum still. They still have confidence, despite that defeat against City in the FA Cup semi-final. So they will go for it. And I think we should invest in them like we've done all through the season. Mm. It's not new. But yeah, I think it's the right moment to maybe double up for sure, treble up even probably.
Chris Wood, obviously, we're not recording this after the game. We don't know what's happened for the match against Brentford. But as it stands before that, I want Chris Wood. I want a Nottingham Forest defender, probably Milinkovic.
Mm, I mean, I've got Sells. I saw him pop back in my
Hang
team.
On, I might even have Milinkovic. I can't remember.
Oh, that's a good start.
No, I sold him.
Have you got Sells? Who's your goalkeeper?
Raya.
Oh, you've got Raya.
I've got the Arsenal double up.
Oh, yeah.
All right, don't look at me like that.
Great idea, that.
I'm lucky.
I agree about that. Yeah, so Sells popped back in. So I was like, okay, that's one. But then obviously I sold Elanga a few weeks ago.
Because of the double, we were all sorting ourselves to that.
I have Wood right now for my free hit, but then he's one of the ones that disappeared. So now I've got to decide on how to invest, but definitely one of them is going to come back. I think you've got to have some Nottingham Forest cover there, because they're going to be, as Jules said, all eyes on the league now that they're out of the FA Cup. So, and they want to secure that top four finish. Like, they've been there all season. So it would be a shame, really, if they
You've got none now. At the moment.
I've got Sells, and that's
Sells,
it.
Sorry. And then you're going to go, what would be your priority buys from Forest, if you had to give me a name?
Wood.
Yeah. Wood. And if you have Mateta, for example, which
We've all got the same. Sorry, I've just had to check my team because I've kind of forgot which of the kids were coming back this week. I've got Isak, Mateta, and Marmoush. I don't hate that, to be honest.
That's great. No. But Mateta, as we said, especially for boom, 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 Mateta's in the room.
As if we were going to
be. Did you sing that at Wembley on Saturday?
I was with them, and I was sat more than Kels was more on the halfway line. I was sat near in the press box, but near their fans. Literally,
I was sat four
fans.
Rows behind. I was like literally behind the bench.
Yeah.
And actually, towards the end, when they went 3-0 up, and obviously Mateta missed the penalty, but it doesn't matter about that now. Does potentially matter for us in FPL. Ezra obviously missed one. Will he be back on penalties? Who knows? But towards the end, when he came off and he was on the bench, he actually stood up at one point, probably on like 88, 90 minutes, and really soaked it all in and started doing a little dance.
Amazing,
and he looked like you when you danced, actually.
Wait,
yeah.
Yeah.
In fact,
Paris
he was looking up towards
probably,
your direction. Maybe it was
actually
you.
Yeah.
But I thought it made me laugh because in my head, I was thinking of Jules singing as he was dancing.
But then the Mateta to Woods transfer is easy to make, really, because I think Mateta, I wouldn't be surprised if he doesn't start at the weekend, if they rest him a bit.
But they haven't been playing well in the league either, because their focus has been on the FA Cup.
So their fixtures are Forest at home on Monday night, then Spurs away, Wolves at home, Liverpool away. I mean, Spurs is a guaranteed 3 points. I'm joking, but it is on the 11th of May.
But it comes straight after the second round of the second leg of the Europa League. So let's see.
Wolves at home isn't an easy fixture anymore.
No, but it's the last home game. So usually last home game, you put on a good performance.
But then it is
before the
FA Cup.
But it is before the FA Cup final.
We also don't know when that Wolves fixture will be at the moment as well.
Yeah, true.
And then Liverpool away on the last day.
For example, it makes a lot of sense.
Yeah.
As soon as this week even.
Okay, so we're all saying Wood and potentially a Nottingham Forest defender. Manchester City are third on the ticker. Lots of us went there because of the double. We know that they're going to be going for the FA Cup, but they've also got to get in the Champions League. So surely we hold and move on?
Yeah, So that's the one thing that upset me about the FA Cup fixtures over the weekend, when Marmoush sent it to Guardiola, and I was like, where were those points in double game week 34, boys?
Yeah.
What was that?
Yeah,
like, come on now, save that for me when we have points. Yeah, so I've got the two of them. I'm not going anyone else, though.
No,
it feels too much to go somewhere else. I'd have to destroy my team for KDB, and I don't think I don't think I want to go there. Obviously, Haaland's not that far away from being back now, so maybe there's a conversation that happens in a couple of weeks' time.
And potentially Marmoush, that if you didn't want to sell Mateta, maybe you could go there.
But I think for now you hold.
And Pep Roulette seems to be back as well.
Yeah,
there's
a few weird
choices in his starting lineup that you didn't see coming. Even like KDB being on the bench I think O'Reilly, who is my differential, I mean, should have been, but you robbed it from me.
Let's not go there.
If you want to have like a really cheap player on your bench that can always come in and etc., I think O'Reilly could be decent.
Okay. So that's where we are with City. Brentford. It feels dodgy talking about this on a Wednesday. Could we do the Mbeumo Vissa double up? It's tough, isn't it? Because there's
tempting.
Other players.
It's tempting. But we've seen their form home and away being slightly different. Although them two seems to be Mm-hmm. Always good, to be fair. I think it's an incredible season for both of them that is maybe not spoken enough because it's Brentford probably, or because they're not like superstar for the national team that are not mm-hmm. super strong national teams either. But I think both, and Mbeumo especially, is outstanding this season. So yeah, so I think again, it's the end of the season. You can take a bit of a gamble really on having them both because they seem to be in great form. And they play Manchester United at home, Ipswich away, Fulham at home, and Wolves away. Mm. So it's a decent run of games, to be fair, especially the home ones, where they are usually very strong. So certainly have one of Mbeumo and Wissa for sure. And both of them, if you feel like it, yeah, go for it.
Okay. Everton are also up there on the fixture ticket, but I feel like they're a little bit, they're just above Brentford, actually. Their fixtures are Ipswich at home, Fulham away, Southampton at home, Newcastle away. There's two very nice home fixtures in there. It's a little bit different, isn't it? Now they're without James Tarkowski. I think that's maybe where the struggle is, and the fact they're not too prolific. So are we kind of just saying no, Everton at the moment?
Yeah, because even when you look at those four fixtures, like I think they'll win three of them, but Ipswich do score goals. Even Southampton seem to score one every game, as we saw at the weekend. Fulham often score, Newcastle always score. So I think, you know, in terms of the defence, I can't see many clean sheets coming over the next few weeks, especially when you add Tarkowski to that as well. And then the attackers just haven't really been in the game for us this season so far. So I think, sadly, I think they're in a void.
There's not one outstanding guy that you could pick up.
If you still have Pickford as your goalkeeper, though, don't panic on that. Like, I mean, you can keep him. I don't think you need to change it, but I wouldn't bring one.
I just had to check because I thought I had him as my backup. I honestly can't remember what my team is because I enjoyed my free hit more. Next up after Brentford in the ticker are West Ham. And it's a similar conversation with Everton in terms of, well, it's not similar, is it? Because West Ham are in far worse form than Everton. But it goes back to what you said. There's no standout player from Everton, so it's hard to pick. There is a standout player from West Ham. So although they're not in the best form, if you can get Jarrod Bowen into your team for games against Tottenham at home, Manchester United away, Forest at home and Ipswich away, then it kind of makes sense, doesn't it, Jules?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, he's returned. He had 2 9-pointers in a row, returning 3 of his last 4. And it's a team that is not really playing well. They're not performing that well. But because he's that good, I think he can still do something a bit special, whether it's an assist, whether it's a goal. And that works. I don't really like how they play. I don't think they're very good. So I would be I'm a bit cautious with Bowen and Graham Potter, really. But yeah, he's a decent option, to be fair.
I don't need to ask you because I know the answer.
I'm not cautious on him because he plays my team next. And have you seen us lately in the league? And the fact that it comes on the back of our Europa League games and then they play Man United as they come out of the Europa League, which could still, if they've made it to the final, where's their pride? Like, do you know what I mean? Like, I think there's the two perfect opportunities for him to play Spurs and Manchester United. Forest game's harder, but Forest, as we've been saying, haven't got loads of clean sheets lately.
Sorry, the reason I'm laughing... Jules, what were we told to do before this podcast?
I don't know.
Put your phone off vibrate.
Oh, sorry.
I'm just going to say this because I can see everyone behind the glass laughing. And, oh, you're such a popular guy.
Yeah.
And then he just flicks it away. You know? He's like, oh, no, I don't want to talk to him. I'm just waiting for him to open it and start texting.
Like, you know.
But literally, producer Jesse said, phone's off vibrate.
So I thought with the carpet we have on the table...
Maybe you can't pick it up, but apologies to any listeners if you're getting this horrible noise. It's because Jules is apparently very popular. So, anyway, moving on to the other team. I wanted to talk about the teams at the bottom of the fixture ticker now because from the bottom upwards, it goes Chelsea, Liverpool, Crystal Palace, Brighton, Newcastle, Fulham, Bournemouth, Arsenal. I'm not going to go the whole way up because we'll get into the top half. I'm not very careful. But there's a few teams in there that we are invested in. And this is where, Sam, isn't it? You have to take into consideration the fixture ticker, but we say all the time, you have to think about form as well. And just because Liverpool is second bottom, no one's going to be selling Mo Salah, are they?
No, and nor should you sell Mo Salah.
But no, but my point there is you don't just sell players because of the fixtures. No, you have to take both into consideration.
Which is why I put Ipswich in the conversation at the beginning, because they're at the top. You have to look at the big picture, don't you? And it's like, so Liverpool, I mean, it's interesting. I think Mo Salah is an anomaly because obviously he's been phenomenal this season, but also he's on for his own personal records and his own on for league records. And he obviously is going to want to finish the season
captain. I hope I said that 4 times because I meant to.
There might be an extra game,
Liverpool can't play more than 38 fixtures.
Keep them playing. But he's going to want to achieve his records, right? So he's a firm hold. There's a bigger question around the rest of the Liverpool team, though, because when you look at those fixtures, Chelsea, Arsenal, Brighton, Palace, they what might they do now? Like, they've got nothing to rotate for in terms of they're not in the FA Cup, they're not in the Champions League. But equally, might they try things out for new season? Might they, you know, might there be some changes? Might we see Bradley more than we see Trent? Might we see Tsimikas more than we see Robertson? Like, I don't know. Might we see Darwin a little bit more often? I doubt it, but we might. You know, might we see Jota get some more starts? I think we might see a bit more change up in slots teams, but we won't see any changes with Salah. So you hold him. Everyone else, though, feels like you could probably part company with.
Yeah, the only thing about this game is that they will still be partying on a Saturday night before playing Chelsea on Sunday. And that's the only thing...
I do some of my best work the day after.
Well, Salah won't be, of course, you know, he'll be...
Yeah, that's a very good point.
Tucked in bed, I'm not sure about that. And it would have been a long week of celebrations between the title against Spurs and this Chelsea game. But yeah, at home, especially Arsenal and Crystal Palace... No problem. This is just this Chelsea game on Sunday. I'm not really sure how I feel about it, but you keep Salah for sure.
I know what you mean. It's a bit of a strange one to call, isn't it?
It's a bit, you know.
Chelsea got their own distraction, of course, on Thursday night.
Yeah, true. That's very true.
And it's a hell of a schedule list for them to try to finish top four.
Yeah, there's a real battle for a few teams around that. We've mentioned Palace briefly already. We're not so sure on Mateta. I need to sell Ismail Assar ASAP. I know that much. Because, of course, by the way, how good was he on Saturday?
So good. And we know how I feel. I thought of you, really, like your baby.
When I went up post-match and interviewed Ezra on the pitch, he walked past and wanted to grab him and be like, hiya, I'm a Watford fan as well, so I really do love you. I've had this blind loyalty this season.
Please, could you get me some points?
And don't go in and perform like that for me here in front of me. And then you'll probably start on the bench next week.
I'm going to count every week you had him and how many points he got you, really.
Do you know what? If I go through my WhatsApps, I did it for the fantasy show producer, Tom. We often do this kind of thing. And I worked out the amount of points he got or the amount of returns he got when I hadn't got him compared to when I had. Yeah. And I've had him, I think it was about It was 9 game weeks I've had him. And I think he got 1-2 assists. And then he's got all the rest when I haven't got him. So anyway, he was brilliant on Saturday, but they're going to keep him for the final, like safe. He's not going to start every week, so I just need to sell him, I think. Do you agree?
Yeah, and I'm kind of he was brilliant with Eze as well. Like I think that and Munoz. Like I've got three of them. Do I want three? The fixtures aren't great. Where's the focus? Of course, it's the FA Cup. So having been Palace's most
Munoz, keeping him. I think I will because I've got other issues.
I think that's the thing. By default, you keep it.
I think I'd rather the priorities are going to be Brentford's attack, Forest's attack. Nobody's really a priority.
Ishmael Assar to Mbeumo for me just looks dreamy.
And Eze the same.
Absolutely.
Okay then, let's move on to... Oh no, I wanted you to have a quick word. I was going to move on to differential. I'm like bracing myself because I always get quite nervous about that when I'm in the studio. But before we do that, before you explode, can you talk to me about Bukayo Saka? Do you understand why people are selling him and would you encourage people to do the same?
I think it's a tricky one because there's obviously the Champions League second leg against PSG next week. So this Bournemouth game, I'm not really sure what Arteta is going to do. Do you play a strong team against Bournemouth? And Arsenal still need some points to guarantee top five, which is not done yet. I don't think they would mind finish fifth. They would rather finish second. But you still have a tricky game against Newcastle, for example. You have a tricky game away at Liverpool, which we said is not going to be easy. So from an Arsenal point of view, you can't really play your B team. Even Bournemouth on Saturday is a bit tricky. So I think Saka will play. He will have minutes. Is he in great form? I don't think so. Is the team in
it's
great form?
It's the cost of him as well, isn't it? That's the problem.
The other thing is, if he's not going to start, then that will put people off keeping him. Because at that point, you're taking up with a player that might get 30 minutes, whereas I could have...
And Bowman, or somebody guaranteed
Bowen.
To
start. Bowen, who's going to say Bowen. But
everyone else would prioritise Mbeumo, but for some reason Sam's like, no, Bowen. I do want Jared Bowen as well, but I think
like them both.
Yeah, I'm quite greedy.
Okay.
Okay, so it's a difficult conversation.
The names as well, it's like...
Right, let's do differential of the week then. Sam went for Sessegnon last week. He got 11 points, last minute goal, which gave him all three bonus points. Thanks a lot for that.
Sessegnon as well. last week. It was my player.
You also got a return from your Strand Larsen, just not as many.
Yeah, but given you picked him that off the cuff, that's quite good.
Yeah, it was the world's worst. In the intro, I even mentioned how bad your pick was. You know when I always do three things in the intro, I said, this is what's coming up. This, and Jules gives the worst pick
ever.
The
thing about it is I have to go back and, because I can never remember who's Jules' pick, so then I have to go back and re-listen to it.
Yeah, bad.
So I go back and I listen to it, and normally I just go in the transcript to see if I can find it. And the transcript was so messy because it was just you going, I don't really like this, and I don't really like that.
Come on then, have you got a better one for it? Oh no, it's you first, sorry.
Yeah, guess who I've got?
Jared Bowen.
No, come on, not this time again.
Can we also save some airtime and just, you've already waxed lyrical about him, let's just move on to Jules's. Go on quickly.
Mine is Bowen anyway, I don't have another one.
Do you not?
No, I found really difficult the differential this week, I won't lie. Like, no.
Right, okay, just do Bowen quickly,
No, it's not so much
we'll
that.
Just, we'll just have Bowen together this week.
We've said already that he's returned point? 3 times out of 4. I can have Strand Larsen again. I like him.
Right, okay, so Jared Bowen. Okay, Jared Bowen's one. We're running out of time.
I haven't got a backup either.
But this week, I thought this week was... Yeah, I was a bit uninspired.
Sorry, but for the first time ever, we've got one differential between two of you.
It's so bad.
Well, because I won. So
sorry,
I
producer Jesse has overridden this. They cannot have the same one. Right, I'm going to look through to producer Jesse. What the hell do I do then?
Well, hang on, I'll pick another one. But you can't have Bowen either. You'll have to pick another one. We'll both
We try and not edit this audio and just let you have it in real time. But this is great. For those of you watching on YouTube, this is the reality. They're just right. George is probably replying to his text. They're just saying
in which case I'll have a langer then, because he's
just put Sam can pluck one out, I'm sure.
Brilliant.
Go on then.
Thanks, Jesse.
I will read anything
job,
that Jesse
really,
sends.
To be fair,
I'll have, I
as Joaquin would say,
when you win,
that's your
you're
job.
Supposed
just
to get
give
to
me
hit.
The differential.
I'll have a langer then. I think you've done him before.
Kells,
at
this point. Okay, I've got one. I'm going to go for Nico Jackson because his goal against Everton, I think, was a really good goal to start with. Back from injury, but he looks sharper, he looks better. Liverpool will still be at the Hacienda or whatever the nightclub is in Liverpool. Just literally arriving at Stamford Bridge 5 minutes before kickoff. Still probably hungover a little bit and glitter on their faces. So I would go for Nico Jackson because I think owned by 6.7% of the game, 7.7 million. I know he's expensive, but he's worth it. He will have a really good end of the season.
So I'll have a langer then, and we'll make it fair.
So neither,
of
neither
us will
is Bowen.
No, well, that makes it fair. We've also spoken about him next week. Otherwise, so I'll just have a langer, but I'm not giving you any comments on it because I don't have any apart from that he's playing Palace, and I think they'll be focused elsewhere.
On to transfers and captaincy then. I thought it was interesting because we've spoken about Mbeumo, we've also spoken about Cunha on this podcast. Of the top five transfer combinations, the five most popular transfer combinations, all of the players in those combinations are Mbeumo or Cunha. So everyone wants those two players. We've made it clear that we want those two players as well. I don't think I'll be able to get Cunha into my team though. Same for you, Sam, at the moment.
I could do it. Because I could sell Matessa and...
But you said you wanted Wood.
But
who would you prioritise over?
That's the problem, isn't it?
I think a lot of people are going to have that decision. Do you go Wood or
absolutely.
Cunha?
It's a bit of a dilemma.
And I think I'll probably go Wood. Thursday night's game is going to be telling, I think. I think I'll probably go for Wood just because I like what they've got to fight for between now and the end of the season.
What are you thinking to do for your transfer this week, though?
So I'm going to sell Eze either for Mbeumo or Jared Bowen. Probably Mbeumo, depending upon what happens on Thursday night.
I've got one free transfer and 1.5 million on the bank. I don't know where that money's coming from. Really,
assistant
I must have won the lottery.
Yeah, that's what it'll
assistant
be.
Assistant manager.
I've got 1.1 in the bank and thought that was quite
I never had so much money in my bank ever in the game. So I won Wood and the Wood for Mateta makes sense, like I said. I would like Mbeumo too. I love Mbeumo.
-4 then.
So I think I'm going to do.
I'm probably going to do
Mateta and Sarr.
The thing is, what's the point in waiting?
Wooden,
got 4 weeks.
At this point of the season, to
so
make
if you
the
want
minus
it,
four.
No, make
no,
the minus
no.
four. If you're going to do a minus four, make it worth it. Have it over.
I can't actually do that. I'm doing live transfer.
You're trying to live transfer.
Well, I was
going
to do. I haven't got
money.
Enough to do Mateta and Sarr to Wood and Mbeumo. I can't quite do it.
And to be for Brentford at home.
Sarr's so much cheaper.
Brentford at home to United, who, as we said, will have been playing Athletic Club de Bilbao on Thursday and then be ready to play them again back to back. So Brentford at home for Mbeumo or Wissabe, more Mbeumo I think is
no, I might hold my I might hold my transfer actually. Like
hold
I don't hate
transfer.
Because then I can do have two next week and then really attack the final 3 weeks. I don't hate my team. Because I can bench I've got Conor Bradley as my third sub, doesn't matter now because I'm not going to play him. Ishmael Assar, my second sub. My bench isn't great, but yeah, anyway, I've got a few days to sort that out. Captaincy, very quickly. It's going to be Mo Salah every week, isn't it?
Surely Salah.
Sam?
Yeah, I think so. I think so.
Why are you saying that as if you're even thinking about captaining anyone
you
else?
You just said earlier, captain like 10 times.
Because all your other players. Or maybe Wolves at home for Manchester City.
I quite like Marmoush as a differential captain. I quite like Mbeumo as a differential captain.
Yeah, but
I
think there what are other... said about... Yeah, I guess so.
I quite like Jarrod Bowen, weirdly, against
Spurs. Nothing weird about that.
Yeah.
I just think that... So this week's fixture against Chelsea is the one that just bothers me the most of the fixtures that they have left. So if you're going to go against Salah at any point, it feels like this is the week to do it. Now, whether I'm going to or not, because it comes down to that risk-reward thing we spoke about at the beginning. Yeah. I could risk it, but if it doesn't pay off, it's going to absolutely sting. So I probably will go Salah, but I think there are some
other options that you've given there as well. If you don't want to captain Mo Salah. Okay, that's where we will leave it today. It's another unusual deadline this week. Well, I say unusual, it's just not the most common one we have. Manchester City play Wolves on Friday evening. So we have a 6:30 PM deadline on Friday night. What was that?
I didn't know this. Yeah, I didn't know this. I expected like a
Did
Saturday
you know
thing.
You're recording a podcast about Fantasy Premier League?
Yeah, yeah, man.
Friday night football
for a long time.
Yeah, but
you've
it's
got
not
a
the first
of Friday
time
night
ever.
Deadlines coming up, Jules. Yeah. Don't miss them.
Lee and Ash will be back on off the bench on Tuesday to review game week 35 so far. We'll also be back next Thursday to preview game week 35. The game weeks are running out, guys. The Fantasy Show will be back this Friday on the Premier League website and app. And as always, we love it if you rate and review. That's all from us this week. It's been lovely to see you both. Have a great weekend, and I hope a not great Thursday night. See ya.